He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
William Batchel with a good point here. We can stop kind of rambling on about that. But what do the Lakers do next? Well, for first and foremost, I think I mentioned this last night on the show or in a lowdown. I don't know. I have done so much talking and writing and stuff that everything has kind of mixed in together. But after trade was finalized and after the directly involved parties were notified, Rob called up LeBron and sounds like asked him, you know, what do you think about this? How do we move forward? I hope you understand why we felt like we needed to make this trade. Do you still want to be here? You have your no trade clause. Like, you know, do you want us to facilitate a trade anywhere? Like, I don't know the specifics of the conversation, but I would imagine a lot of those subjects were broached. And apparently the conversation went well. And people spoke to Chris Haynes this morning and told him that LeBron doesn't plan to go anywhere, that he is going to, you know, stick this out and play with Luka and see how well they can fit together. A lot of people were saying like, oh, yeah, you know, great sacrifice from LeBron wanting to play with Luka. I actually think it's fascinating because this is LeBron in a way backing up his desire over the years of we want Anthony Davis to be the best player here. We want him to be the alpha. We want him to be the face of the franchise. We want this. We want, you know, and trying to push AD into that role, and AD just kind of like not quite doing it. I also think some of it was like LeBron isn't necessarily comfortable doing that. With Luka being in the organization, Luka is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, yeah. No argument, nothing. Like, if Luka says, hey, I want LeBron traded, then LeBron gets traded. And it would never happen. And sure. Again, LeBron has a no trade clause. So it would never happen. But I'm saying, like,
he has a lot of power in the organization for sure.
Yeah. Like, if you know, that's, you know, in terms of like superstars, that's like the ultimate trump card, right? Is which guy would the organization listen to when it comes to if they wanted the other guy traded, who would get moved, right? Mm-hmm. We found out with Kobe and Shaq that Shaq got moved. But now it's Luka. Luka is the face of the Lakers and he is stepping into that role. And now it's really interesting here that LeBron signed up for this, you know, basically said, mm-hmm. No, I'm all right. I'm staying here. I want to stay here. And I want to see what this looks like with Luka. I want to see what we're able to do together. I want to retire a Laker. I'm still told that LeBron is adamant about wanting to retire a Laker, giving this a go. I heard an interesting thing last summer as it pertained to LeBron taking that pay cut, is that he signed a 1-1 deal. He could have signed, I believe, just a straight 2-year contract, but mm-hmm. he signed a 1-1. So he signed a 1-year deal with a player option on the back end of this 1 year. And I spoke to somebody then that I trust, and they threw out a theory then at the time that I think is pretty pertinent now. In that, hey, LeBron was willing to take a pay cut now to bring in like James Harden or Klay Thompson or whatever. And he was willing to take like a decent hit, not like a big one, I don't think, but he was willing to take like a bit of a hit to be able to make that happen. What do you think he would be willing to do financially for Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
To help get Luka more help, to help bring in more help with him and Luka and the rest of the team as it's currently composed, right? Now, again, I don't know to the extent that is, but that was a really interesting theory that popped back into my head over the course of today. Is like, Luka's the guy who he probably would have taken quite a bit of a hit to bring in if it came down to it. And now that he has him in the organization now, and if the Lakers go into next season and go into the offseason and have free agency ahead of them, I'm really curious what if that comes back up again, if the notion of a pay cut comes back up again, because the one thing that LeBron hasn't accomplished in his life, in his playing career, and may never actually be able to accomplish, is winning a championship with his son. Oof. Imagine how special a moment that would be for LeBron James to have played at a high enough level to potentially legitimately help a championship team win one with his son sitting there on the bench. Hmm. All other nonsense aside, takes on LeBronny. You know, I don't care how you feel about Bronny and nepotism and all that side. Put yourself in LeBron James' shoes in that moment and ask yourself what that would do for him.
Yeah.
Right. And you have Luka in the organization, you have Bronny in the organization, you hire JJ. Like, if it comes time and the Lakers, I don't even know who the free agent would be, but if it comes time that, you know, the Lakers tell Bron, hey man, we could get this guy if you take this kind of a hit, and we think it would seriously improve our title chances next season, what do you think? I think that's a lot more serious conversation now than it was 48 hours ago.
It definitely is. And that feels like something like in 2026, or even people are saying this could really extend LeBron's career, right? LeBron could play another 2-3 years. Luka's the best on-ball creator that he's ever played with. I know Wade was one guy, but I mean, Wade was kind of, you know, a little bit past his prime, even in Miami. One thing on the AD part, like, I think AD's drop, you know, in jump shooting really kind of made him being the alpha offensive player a tough ask, right? And I think LeBron did as much as he could to kind of push AD into that role. But Luka Doncic is on a whole other universe. And LeBron's been in the league a long time. Anthony, 22 years. I'm not saying he didn't love Anthony Davis. I didn't say like he pushed for this trade, but he's traded D Wade off his team. Like, he's, you know, he understands the business of basketball. And I always thought that Luka Doncic coming here is a guy he'd want to play with. He hasn't been shy about that either. LeBron has said that publicly. Our own head coach has said that publicly on podcast as well. But I think the fit is going to be, that's the two smartest basketball players maybe, you know, in the league, being able to play off each other. And obviously there's a center position to go get, and there's stars you can go chase in 2026, 2027. But I'm fascinated to see how this works. Austin, Luka, and LeBron is a pretty unguardable three-man trio with how they can kind of screen for each other and kind of work off each other, and how you're gonna have to guard one of those guys with a mismatch. I can't wait to see how it looks, but I'm with you. I think LeBron understands what's going on. I don't know how much of a pay cut he'll take, although it was reported he would take one for Jonas Valanciunas and DeMar DeRozan and James Harden. Very weird names to kind of throw in there, but it's just a very random hodgepodge of names. But Luka Doncic, I think, changes everything. Changes the future, changes the present. He is the future, he is the present. And I do think it just extends LeBron. I'm of the belief next year is his last year, but there's a world, Anthony, where he's like, I don't really have to run. I'm already handing the keys off to Austin Reeves. We just brought a NASCAR driver in who's the most professional, you know, driver of a sport of the basketball that exists. I don't really have to do much. I can average my 18 to 20, run back and forth. I don't have to create every shot. Luka's on a 30% usage. I can play two more years. I think there's a universe where that happens as well.
Let's answer some super comments here really quick. And if we have time, we'll come back and talk about like the basketball aspect of this. We had somebody asking for us to get to super comments, and I will go ahead and do that for you, sir. But first, we got to play this. Fuck Washington! All right. Justin Tindall kicked it off with, we have all given it to Rob, but imagine drafting Luka and Brunson in the same draft and them no longer being on our team while they're in their 20s.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson, I don't think the Mavs should be losing that much sleep on Jalen Brunson. You pivoted as well.
No, you didn't have to. You like it's like, you know.
Yeah, it's one more guy you would have had on your team, and
but it's like it's hard for me to like give credit to teams for like fixing their fuck up. You know, sure. Like congrats, sure. Yeah, you screwed up the Brunson thing and you lost him for nothing, and then you were able to trade. You had to trade stuff to go out and get Kyrie when you could have just kept Brunson.
Sure. I guess my point is this Luka thing just is a wave that just rides over all of those, like the Porzingis, oh, yeah. The Brunson. Like I can't even get my that. Those are so much smaller kind of details than this, which is just an absolute, you know, shift in your franchise. The Brunson thing, you regret it. He's good. I have questions about 6-1 guards and, you know, playoff series, but the Luka thing, just that.
Well, what I will say is oftentimes process indicates future results.
Sure.
You know, and process is a good predictor on future outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You mess up the Brunson thing and you mess it up in the way that they did it. Like if you don't learn anything from it, sure. I'm not saying this is like a, you know, one-to-one, you know, natural outcome here, but it is like once you screw up to that extent and nothing really happens to your front office as a result of that, and you get patted on the back for pivoting and trading for Kyrie and having that working out, like when you get rewarded for screwing up and fixing it, then you're just going to screw up again. And
sure.
In this case, like you said, they screwed up in a way that dwarfs every other previous screw up.
Right.
Intel Wild. Let's go Lakers. I like to think of that as like Lawrence Tanner. Like your Laker girls. All right. JK Lobos writes, hey guys, what is more important for the roster construction? What is more important for the roster construction? : A big that complements Luka as a lob threat or a defensive guard? I was thinking about this today because you can only trade Rui once.
Sure. I think a big man is way more important. I think our backcourt is kind of set. It's funny because I feel like we just moved our all NBA player, Anthony. Like if you think about it, our all NBA player was at the center position. We now moved it to the point guard position. So we kind of have to get like Max Christie level, you know, production from the center spot, if that makes sense. So I'm way more into the center spot. I think you have enough wings to kind of flank what Luka wants to do. We'll see if the shooting is enough with DFS and Dalton and those guys. But yeah, I think a big that complements is more important. I think you have the wings that can kind of fill the defensive guard roles.
Yeah. Like, if the Lakers could somehow, because you can combine Gabe and Rui's salaries and get Claxton, you can get to Claxton using their salaries. I don't know if a first and a second is enough to get Claxton, but given the prices, right? Like LaVine went for Chicago's own first coming back. The first rounders that De'Aaron Fox got back are pretty bad, honestly, because like one of them is like the Spurs when they're going to have Fox and Wemby. Another one is like the 2031 Minnesota Timberwolves first, which is going to be when Anthony Edwards is 28 years old. I think he'll be pretty good at that point. And then another one is like a top 14 protected Charlotte pick, and they're like the fourth worst team in the league. So that will convert to a second rounder if it doesn't convey this year. So like the type of draft capital that is going out in these trades, like the fact that the Lakers were able to hold on to one of their first for Luka Doncic indicates that we might be seeing a shift in the, or we are seeing a shift in the NBA's economy. And if that's the case and they can take advantage of it and use a first to go out and get even a first and a second to go out and get Claxton, that makes you a title team. Like I'll LeBron, Luka, Reeves, Finney Smith, and Claxton.
Fando.
That's a finals team, you know. Now you would have to go out and probably sign like a Markelle Fultz or something like that to replace Gabe. But even there, like Austin would run your second unit. just fine. Like, I actually think they should consider moving Austin to the second unit as is.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have 48 minutes of LeBron or Luka or Austin running your offense. I don't think you don't really need more ball handling. I like Nick Claxton move a lot. I think, you know, him and De'Ron Sharpe maybe are two guys you can kind of pull from Brooklyn. I like that a lot. I don't know if you saw, you know, Sam Quinn tweeted out that the Spurs only trade with the Kings and the Bulls. And you look at these things that they got back, it's just they keep just taking these franchises for a run. Bulls got nothing for Zach LaVine. It's just it's insane. And the Kings took on Zach LaVine and got one first round pick that you just mentioned. It's just
excellent. All right, let's go with the next one here. Intel Wild, what has Cuban said about the trade? He hasn't said anything. He has been completely
he said one thing.
Mark Cuban being quiet is crazy.
He said MFFL. That was it.
Oh, Mavs fan for life?
Yeah, yes. That was his response to the trade.
Or do you think he was like, motherfucker, losers?
As much as we laugh at Mark Cuban, he would have never approved this.
No, that's what I mean. Is that like he's looking at the new owner, he's like, losers. Like that's the thing. It definitely was a Mavs fan for life when he was tweeting to the new owners. I get bored for days. Do you think the front office trades for a center, and who have you heard them linked to since the trade? So they still definitely want a center, what I heard. I think it's probably between slightly and actually more likely that they make a smaller move for, they have the one second rounder that they can send out. The problem is they can't protect their first. So, if you're going to send out a first, it's going to be unprotected. You better get a really damn good player back. So, especially considering you sent one first out for Luka. Again, he went out with AD. It's not apples to apples, but still.
Sure.
I don't know. The more I kind of like you could send out like a second and get De'Ron Sharpe. I think that's something that they could probably execute tomorrow. They have been waiting for the Vucevic price to drop. Now the Bulls are still saying they want a first for him. But after trading LaVine for their own first back, you're not going to get the same draft return for Vooch that you got for LaVine. So especially if the Lakers have to send it over unprotected. So if the Bulls are willing to send draft capital back to the Lakers for Vooch, then maybe that's something that they think about. Aside from that, honestly, the Lakers basically spent most of today, and the other thing too is, They're running into two problems, from what I've heard. One, their draft capital is now a lot less valuable because there is now no post LeBron era, right? That's what all the teams were lining up to gamble on. Was like, all right, we can't wait to get our hands on some draft capital from the Lakers when they no longer have LeBron James. Now it's like, not only are they gonna almost knocked over my wine. Not only are they not going to have a post LeBron James era, but they're probably going to pair Luka with a star by the time that draft capital conveys. And it's going to be worth it's going to be a 20, mid 20s pick or something like that. And then also I'm not going to lie. I've sensed some bitterness around the league where it's like, why did they just call the Lakers? What is going on there? I've also been wondering all day, would Luka be a Mav still? I tweeted this out, but would Luka be a Mav still if he was just a Nike athlete? He's a Jordan guy. And all of the guys that Nico is trading for, PJ Washington, Kyrie Irving, now Anthony Davis, a lot of Nike people who he had relationships back when he was with Nike.
Yeah, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, Anthony, but I just reading all this, it feels like, I don't say these stuff lightly, it feels like Nico Harrison went on an ego trip and found a way to write himself in the history books. Right or wrong on this, it's just, that's what it feels like to me. He was able to kind of put himself in history and make a stamp on the league. And now he did it and got all his fans against him. I can't believe that he's done that. It's insane that he's, you know, gone and absolutely just destroyed, you know, the Mavs to go and trade for AD. But I like Nick Claxton a lot. I think the Lakers are very much in where, maybe they're not, I don't know, in the, we got Luka freaking Doncic for, you know, they might still be in that kind of mode, but I like Nick Claxton a lot. I'm with you. I think they make a smaller move. I hope it's not Vucevic. I think this team needs defense and rebounding.
Needs athleticism.
He needs a rim protector, right? A guy who can kind of protect the rim and kind of, you know, patrol the paint, which I think you can find. Like, if you have Luka, LeBron, and Austin, and Vando, and DFS, you're the wings you have, you should be able to find the center. So hopefully they find one.
Andre Miller writes, real centers were recently deemed dinosaurs, not anymore. Cavs, Mavs, New York, Mini, San Antonio, OKC, Bucks. No bigs, no title shot. Let's get it, Rob. Yeah, there is kind of like a bar that you have to cross when it comes to the caliber of your center in this world, where, you know, you have to have somebody who can rim run, can protect. Like, they need to be good at something. It used to be that, like, you could get away with, like, back when Shaq was playing, you could have a big who was just big enough to foul Shaq 6 times and make him feel it. Those centers have fallen by the wayside, I feel like. Now they have to be, like, they either can have to space the floor, they have to be great at rebounding, they have to be great at shot blocking or rim running or finishing or screening. They have to have, like, a legit tool in the bag, probably multiple tools, if you really want to be contending for a championship.
Right, and I think their offensive role is simplified way more next to Luka and obviously LeBron. I love Derek Lively, but I mean, Luka took a rookie center to the finals last year, and Dino Gafford was, you know, not looked at as what he was in Dallas after he got with Luka. So again, I think the bars, like, the gap between Jackson Hayes and, like, a serviceable center is quite large. And so if you can just go get a serviceable center, you mentioned Nick Claxton, I think the Lakers are cooking. If they can go get just a normal center that's better than Jackson Hayes, it's a low bar to clear.
Although I think Jackson's probably going to look better with Luka.
Oh yeah, everyone is.
Than he did before. By the way, quick thing. I know you're a big Kendrick guy, I'm sure.
Oh,
you seen, yes. You seen the night he's having at the Grammys?
I've stayed away watching Luka Doncic film. I did see he won a Grammy. I saw that.
He's winning a lot of Grammys. I think he just won a song of the year for...
For Not Like Us. Okay. Lakers got Luka Doncic, Anthony. Stay on. Stop it.
I can't ruin this for you. I can't bring you down.
You can't. No. I'm floating 500 miles above, you know, the earth right now. There's nothing
pulling me down. From the same angle that they got the picture of the house.
Oh my god. I'm on the moon. That's where I'm at. They couldn't get cameras up there.
All right, last thing here. I want to send a shout out actually to Anthony Davis. It's been a really busy few days here, a couple days or whatever. I am legitimately going to miss this guy. The Lakers, right before we went live, ran a video tribute for him that I thought was pretty good. Let me see if I can play it. Is it? Yeah, I think this is it.
When I got traded here, my goal is to bring a championship here. You know, when that time comes around next year, you can ask me that question and we revisit it.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win.
Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!
Here he goes, two big steps, blocked by Davis! You're not getting past me!
Through the hands of time back, Davis!
Quick move with the baseline! Throw it down, big fella! Lakers are gonna win it!
We NBA champions, and it's just a real feeling. I'm just happy with these guys.
Oh, exclamation point tonight for the Lake Show!
Man, I am going to miss him. Like, really, actually going to miss Anthony Davis. I think he was really underrated in his time with the Lakers. You know, I think it's really difficult to be the second best player on a LeBron team. And I think there's a lot of folk, like, because he makes his impact on defense, I think a lot of times he was really misunderstood on, on, like, his impact on basketball and stuff like that. But I mean, you think of everything he did and the sacrifice he made to be as good defensively as he was with some of the teams that he had to carry defensively.
Right.
Legitimately one of the most special players ever to, like, there was a debate today as to whether or not his jersey is going to go in the rafters. He's a Hall of Famer who was the best or second best player on a championship team. His jersey gets retired.
100% Laker legend, you know, Laker for life. He didn't get traded for just anybody. He got traded for, you know, Luka Doncic. There's no, you know, shame in that, but going to miss AD. We don't, you know, the NBA world, Anthony just doesn't value defense in the same way. And, you know, the 2020 title was great and it gets put into these like bubble conversations, but that 2023 playoffs, I'll always remember that. That was that's Anthony Davis. Like what he did to the Warriors in that, you know, first round, and then what he did to Memphis, like absolutely demolished both of those teams.
Basically the way he just regularly sunned Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes. Yeah.
Like he just like every took time. A personal, like just personal, like enjoyment out of kicking that guy's ass all the time.
Right. And it looked like he cared. Like he wasn't always loud and wasn't always, you know, had a lot of emotion on his face, but that was a competitive MF-er that, was about the right thing. So best of luck, you know, in Dallas, still has a lot of basketball left for him. And, he's will always, you know, remember the contributions he had, here for the last 5 years,
five year run, won a championship, you know, and then they'll never be able to take that from him. You know, also like shout out to him, by all accounts, incredibly nice person. When it comes to, you know, media availability and the way that he treated people who work within the building and just generally speaking, a really, really good guy, you know, fearsome competitor and a real ass kicker out there. I do legitimately wish this guy the best. And I actually think it's really too bad. I think he's been put in an absolutely impossible situation.
Yeah.
Impossible. Like the moment he tweaks a hamstring, even. It, you know, Mavs fans are going to be on his neck, and it's like he didn't trade himself to Dallas,
right?
Like he didn't pull the trigger on this, and now he's going to be stuck there with this fan base that is literally mourning a franchise icon being traded to the team that they probably hate the most, and then this guy is going to kind of represent that on the roster. I really feel bad for him. I really feel bad for Max Christie. So I shouts to AD for everything, man. Like I said, really one of my favorite Lakers of all time. Shouts also to Max for sticking with it. And I think he almost single-handedly turned the season around with, you know, stepping into the starting lineup. I think he's going to win a championship someday and play a real role on a championship team. Both those guys were incredible. Yeah. And you know what? Like, you know, good job by the Lakers to honor them the way that they did, especially in direct contrast to what Dallas is doing with Luka, which is going to cost them a future relationship with a superstar down the road. Might even be Anthony Davis.
Right. And, you know, shout out, you know, Jalen Hutchinson was also in this trade. So, you know, hopefully he gets a chance in Utah. But yeah, to your point, they're going to see Luka every time they see AD, which is just completely unfair. The expectations that he's going to have on him. My last thing, Anthony, I think it's absolutely absurd. I don't know if you got to hear the full press conference, but Max Christie's name was the second most name that was brought up, you know, in that presser. Yeah. And I just find that so crazy that like a few months ago, that dude was playing next to G League guys and was not in the rotation. And now he's the sweetener in a Luka Doncic deal and a guy that their GM and coach continue to name as a big piece of why they did that trade. It's just crazy. Wish him best of luck. I'm sad that he had to, as well with AD, had to go, but Max was finding his way, and good luck to both of them in Dallas.
Yep. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. I will hop on here and record a lowdown as well to round out my day. I will narrate the piece that I wrote today for Clutch Points. So if you haven't checked it out, I'll go ahead and narrate that, and it'll be on the RSS feed as well. Obviously, we didn't do a mailbag here with Raj and myself, so tomorrow's episode will be a mailbag. So get those questions into iTunes in the form of a five-star review, or you could drop them in the Lounge Discord, and I will get to as many of those as I can over the course of the live episode. And we're almost a Thursday, Raj. We're 4 days from Thursday. It is going to be a long 4 days. It is going to be a busy 4 days. And here's hoping it will be a productive 4 days here for the Lakers. So until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Sripalu. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.